Good morning, church. It's good to be in the house of the Lord with you this morning. And it's good to have Vicky with us. Just want to thank you so much for your ministry to the women yesterday. You've been upheld in prayer by me and many others throughout the week. So grateful that you've come and that you're doing the work that God's put on your heart to do. That's a great example for us today, actually, of getting involved in the work that God's called us to. So thank you for joining us in fellowship, too, and not skirting out. Really appreciate it. Today's passage is from 1 Corinthians chapter 12, and we'll be focusing on verse 4 to 11. So 1 Corinthians 12, 4 to 11. Now there are varieties of gifts, but the same Spirit. And there are varieties of service, but the same Lord. And there are varieties of activities, but it is the same God who empowers them all in everyone. To each is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. For to one is given through the Spirit the utterance of wisdom, and to another the utterance of knowledge according to the same Spirit, and to another faith by the same Spirit, to another gifts of healing by the one Spirit, to another the working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another the ability to distinguish between spirits, to another various kinds of tongues, to another the interpretation of tongues. All these are empowered by one and the same Spirit, who apportions to each one individually as he wills. Let me just pray for us. God, I just thank you for who you are this morning, that you are a gift giver. And I thank you that while we celebrate always, every morning, every night, and it's where we find our rest, we celebrate the finished work of Christ. We are grateful. We are humbled and privileged to be called into your work, each one of us. And that looks very different for each of us. And I thank you that it does. And there is a beauty that is revealed in the church when we are all doing what you have called us to in unique ways. Lord, we just ask that you would unify us together, though. In the same Spirit, we each have our races to run. We each have our work to do. We each have gifts which you've given us. But they all share a purpose, and they all share the same source. And we just give you all of the glory, every ounce of glory, every ounce of credit for every good thing we do and every good thing we have. In Jesus' name, amen. Where are my young people today? Well, I can see where you are. I'm just getting your attention. And if you consider yourself young, then you're young. So whoever that is. Who likes gifts? Silly question, right? There's a reason why Christmas was always, sorry for the itching, recovering from poison ivy. I'll stay focused here. There's a reason why Christmas always was my favorite season and really still is, which maybe still makes me sort of a kid. And I just loved every element of Christmas. The family traditions, just the fact that the family is brought together, the special meals. But like maybe some of the kids here, my favorite part was not actually the tinsel and the lights. And I know this because when I reflect on my childhood and my Christmases, I try to envision what it would be like on a given Christmas morning if I had just come down the stairs, all excited, PJs on backwards, so amped up, sneak over to the tree, just take a look, I'm not gonna shake them, just look at the tags, and I'm the last of 8 siblings, so there's a lot to look through. And there's some concern growing as I'm seeing Andy and Esther. Andy again. Andy again? And Andy is my closest brother, so that presents difficulty. But then I finally come to mine. And so that reveals to me that actually the gifts were a pretty significant part for me. We like gifts. And today, we get to talk about gifts as a church. It actually should be something exciting. I don't know how talking about spiritual gifts makes you feel, if it leads you to confusion or consternation or not wanting to preach on it. But gifts are good. And Luke records Jesus saying this about his giving nature. If you then, you people out there, all you, if you who are evil know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will the Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? And I just ask maybe one question to think about is, are you asking God? Are you actually asking for him to manifest his Spirit in your life? To be empowered with his giftings? Is that a prayer you're afraid to ask? God wants to give us gifts. He wants us to seek for his giftings, for his purposes. There is a problem with gifts, though, isn't there? So, returning to the Christmas illustration, or any time multiple gifts are being handed out, I'll pivot to those who are more apt to be the gift givers, so parents, grandparents, uncles, aunts, friends. If you've ever with me enjoyed or endured the experience of giving multiple children gifts at the same time, you might have experienced this problem with gifts. There should be no problem with gifts because they're gifts. And yet, so let's illustrate. I'm just going to use some random names here. No one in the audience. So first, Jonathan unwraps his gift, right? Shiny, exciting, good-sized box. Starts to peel it back. It's actually one of the things he really wanted. And he's pumped up, gives a hug to uncle or aunt or whoever else. But then, again, random name, his sister Rebecca. She starts opening her gift. Jonathan notices that box is rather large. And as she starts peeling back the wrapper, before even the whole product label is exposed, he already knows that's a scooter. That's that glorious red scooter that I've been dreaming about. And all of a sudden, what should be a source of joy in the house has created holy war. And this trouble with gifts, this problem with gifts, it actually happens in the church too. We can look over our shoulder at other people's gifts and what they're doing, other people's work and feel like maybe there's something missing with what we're doing, can be a cause for pride. But the problem, it's not unique to us. It was very clear. The problem was present for the Corinthian church. And so I just want to bring in a bit of that context. So, first off, just to make clear, we're talking today about spiritual gifts, not material gifts, right? And there is certainly some overlap. One affects the other. But I think the problem in the Corinthian church with their receiving of gifts and how they responded to it, it's most evident in how they responded to people with unique giftings. So you may have remembered Pastor John spoke about leadership and our tendency to drift towards certain leaders and cling to certain leaders. And part of that can be our excitement with their giftings, the way they present, the way they speak. We can be drawn to certain people. Basically, in a very typical and disappointingly human way, the church can easily elevate style over substance, elevate personality over God's purposes. And I think in the context, if we bring in chapters 12 to 14, which is really the wide section that refers to gifts that we'll be working through the next couple weeks, and we need to give it a good treatment. In that context, the church can actually, you know, elevate certain giftings over others and prize certain giftings over others, and therefore prize certain individuals over others and look past what we would deem the lesser giftings. And we'll get into some of that a little more next week. But Paul says at the outset of chapter 12, he wants to address spiritual issues. He wants to talk about these spiritual gifts. I want you to know. I don't want you to be unaware, like Joe was telling us last week. But he acknowledges much earlier to the Corinthian church that there's a problem with speaking to the spiritual, and it's this fleshly barrier. It's that we have these things in the way. So in 1 Corinthians 2, verses 12 to 13, he basically says, I want to talk about spiritual matters. He says, now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the spirit who is from God, that we might understand the things freely given us by God. So I want to help you understand these things. And we impart this, we want to share this with you, in words not taught by human wisdom, but by the Spirit, interpreting spiritual truths to those who are spiritual. But then there's the problem. 1 Corinthians 3:1. But I, brothers, I could not address you as spiritual people, but as people of the flesh, as infants in Christ, as people who are prone to seek out men rather than God and be drawn to giftings more than the giver. And when he approaches the topic of gifts, starting in chapter 12, he's actually got to slow things down and say, I know you want to ask about certain gifts. I know you want to speak about, you want me to speak to the ecstatic gifts. We can tell that from how much the extent of the discourse in chapter 14 about prophecy and tongues. It's the longest part of this whole section. He's saying, I can't even get to that yet because we need to speak to your motivations. You've got to make sure your heart's aligned. And so that's what he's doing in our passage. So, what does Paul mean when he says spiritual? So I'm going to tap into the three verses that hit our text as well. So that word spiritual shows up in verse 1 of chapter 12. He actually says, now concerning spiritual, he doesn't say gifts. Your Bible probably says gifts because that's what the context implies, and it does. But he just says spiritual using the adjective. So he could be saying spiritual things, or he could be saying, as he did in chapter 2, spiritual people. But he is referring to gifts. Saying, so I want to talk about these spiritual things, and yes, specifically, the giftings. But spiritual is an extraordinarily popular word today, is it not? You can hear from almost anyone who is not devout atheist, which there are not that many, even here in the Northeast, as cold as we think it is spiritually, there's not that many people who want to say they're devout atheists. More often, you'll probably hear people say in your workplace, like I heard at Fidelity, yeah, I'm not really religious, but I'm spiritual. And it was hard to discern what that was connected to. And so, what does Paul mean when he says, I want to talk to you about spiritual things, about spiritual gifts? And I think for the Christian, we can, I mean, Joe talked about this a lot last week, but specifically, it's those things which pertain to the work of the person of the Holy Spirit. Those are our spiritual things. Those things which pertain directly, they're within the realm of the Holy Spirit and his activity. And so everything that we do that we claim is spiritual, it needs to be God-honoring, and it needs to point to Christ. In Jesus' discourse in the Gospel of John, when he's talking to his disciples before the Garden of Gethsemane and before the cross, he really makes clear to them that the Holy Spirit is going to come to them, but the way you can discern whether something is spiritual or not, whether it's in the vein of the Holy Spirit, is if it gives glory back to Jesus Christ. So that's a very important metric for us to be using, whether something is spiritual, whether something is authentically driven by the Spirit of God. Does this, in fact, at the end of the day, give glory to God, or is glory taken by someone else? Is glory robbed of Jesus Christ? And so that's an important test. Now, as I said before, the spiritual does have impact on the material. It's not like these are totally divorced worlds, right? The spiritual intimately affects the material, affects everything we do. But there is a distinction. Paul makes that clear enough. So in 1 Corinthians 9, when Paul is talking about the fact that ministers of the gospel deserve to be paid for their work, even though he wasn't taking the pay from the Corinthian church to avoid any trouble. But when he's making the argument, ministers should get paid for their work. He says in verse 8, do I say these things merely on human authority, like material, fleshly? Does not the law say the same thing? And it's important to remember how Paul describes the law elsewhere, like in Romans 7:14. He says, the law is spiritual, but I'm fleshly. But the law itself is spiritual. And so he makes that distinction, human authority versus this spiritual authority. And it's illustrated a bit more clearly when he goes on in verse 11 of the same chapter, and he says, if we have sown spiritual things among you, okay, if we in our teaching have pointed you to Jesus Christ, is it too much if we reap material things for you? And so he does make that distinction. There is a difference between the spiritual and the material. Now, when he comes to the spiritual things, the spiritual gifts and activities in chapter 12, Again, I believe that the Corinthian church, let me back up. The opening line of verse 1, now concerning. You may or may not remember this little Bible study tool in 1 Corinthians. But in 1 Corinthians, it seems that every time Paul uses this, now concerning, it's a very unique phrase that he uses to introduce speaking to their things that they asked about. So they had written him a letter, you might remember, asking him, Paul, we'd like to some further enumeration on this, this, and this. And Paul worked through a bunch of other stuff first, and then he comes to chapter 7, verse 1, and that's the first now concerning. And we talked about that several months ago. It's probably totally gone. And then he does the same in chapter 8, verse 1. And again here, coming to 12:1, I don't think he's talking about spiritual gifts out of the blue. And I think that's helpful. They've asked him. I'm fairly confident. They've asked him about spiritual gifts. And what I really think they're asking about is what he expounds on in chapter 14. They want to know. The Corinthian church is more inclined towards eloquent speech and wisdom, flowy language. It's very clear when Paul addresses divisions in the church in the first couple chapters. He says, you know, some of you want to say, I want to follow Apollo. Some I want to follow Peter. Some I want to follow Paul. And he makes pretty clear that that's based on their pursuing eloquent orators. And his rebuttal to that is, hey, I'm just coming with plain speech. Often enough I come to you, I don't really preach that well. You guys have told me that, but I'm telling you what it is as plainly as I can, which is what I'm trying to do today. But I think they really wanted to know about kind of the special gifts. And I think we can have that same desire. We just want to jump right to it. But I'm not going to. I think Paul was purposely kicking the can down the road. And I would love some more time to kick this can down the road. So I'm going to. But he does deal here prominently with this issue of motivations and how we approach gifts, how we approach spiritual matters. Let me just ask you, what are your primary concerns about the gifts? When people talk about spiritual gifts, if you have thoughts that come up, I'm guessing that you do, what are your primary concerns or hesitations or thoughts? It's actually, sadly, extremely divisive issue. I think it was probably fairly divisive for the Corinthian church. It might be more divisive now. I have the benefit of being able to participate in a local minister's fellowship. And as part of that, we have guys from different denominations, not all Baptists, some non-denom guys, some Assembly of God guys. And we're able to enjoy a beautiful communion despite differing views of things, including gifts. But it's not always that easy. And churches don't always find it that easy to be in the same room, the same house of worship, with people who they disagree over some of these issues. And the spiritual giftings, I think, is probably one of them. Which is just sad, because the heart of this text seems to be all of these giftings, whatever they are, they're actually supposed to unite. They're actually supposed to build up. They're actually all supposed to point to God and not to individuals. They're all supposed to be good. They're gifts. They're not supposed to cause strife or jealousy or endless anxiety or hiding our gifts. They're supposed to be a blessing, and yet they can be divisive. What are your primary thoughts about the gifts? So I think Paul has two concerns that he wants to address. So put yours on hold for the moment. These are the two that we'll talk about a little bit here. So one, he wants to stress that while there is a variety of gifts, very unique, very different, they all have a unity of source. That's easy to say. Yeah, they all come from the Holy Spirit. We all know that. Thanks, Pastor Caleb. Heard that a million times. All the gifts are from the same Spirit. Yeah, we don't have a dozen different gods. But Paul makes a really big deal of it. I doubt that they asked him, hey, Paul, I'm trying to remember, which spirit is it that guides prophecy? What about teaching? Which spirit guides teaching? What about the miracles, though? That's a different spirit, right? They didn't ask that question, and yet he starts his dialogue on gifts as if they had, saying, it's one spirit, it's one spirit, it's the same, 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 it's the same. And so that's his first big concern. Clearly, they weren't as concerned about unity. I think sometimes we aren't on this topic as God is. The word gifts in this passage, it's used twice in verse 4 and 9. How many times is the Spirit listed? 7. Wouldn't one have done? We know it's one God. We worship one God. What's he doing? They're asking him about gifts. What's he doing talking about God? It says, all these gifts have the same source. Just underline it in your Bible every time you see Spirit there. Just verses 4 and 5 are so powerful. Even where he doesn't use the same word for God, he uses more of a Trinitarian description, which is cool. Now there are varieties of gifts. See, there's many, but the same Spirit. There are varieties of service, but the same Lord. There are varieties of activities, but it is the same God. And so he's describing the Trinity, it seems, and even showing within that, all the same. We worship one God, and the same God is empowering all. And so, just to make it abundantly clear, when we come to spiritual gifts, it's very easy for us to start asking all of these multi-directional questions, and Paul's saying, that's great. I'll elucidate that for you. Just remember, everything good from God is from God. Keep the giver foremost in your mind. When you talk about this and any other topic in Scripture, if you can't see God right at the center of it, it's probably not worth talking about. So keep God central. He is the source for every gift. And just to further illustrate that his focus here is not on the gifts he lists, it's not exhaustive. So the list he gives from verses 8 through 11, it seems to be mostly referring to the ecstatic or the extraordinary giftings, right? Which is what they're probably asking about. But then when he continues to talk about gifting later, so in verses 28 through the end of the chapter, he brings in some other gifts that don't seem as extraordinary. So he talks about helping and administration. And so he's not trying to be exhaustive in at least this first section. Never mind the fact that in none of these lists, including the gift list we get in Romans, he doesn't even pull in the one he had mentioned a couple chapters earlier in chapter 7, verse 7. He acknowledged his own spiritual gifting of being celibate. I don't know if you think about that as a spiritual gifting. It's never listed in the lists, and yet he says, I wish everybody had this gift. And I say back, I don't wish I had that gift. But if you do, it's good. It was good for Paul. And so that's the first concern. Paul's basically saying, slow down. Look to God. He is the source of every good gift. And yes, every good gift should point back to him. And that should be our primary concern. I think his second concern is that while there's a variety of gifts, they have a unity of purpose. Now, I've talked about the gifts pointing to God. But I think we can be biblically a little more selfish here. So Joe spent a lot of time focusing in on the it's not about us element. Very important. And I just demonstrated that a bit. But when it comes to the giftings, it actually is about us. They're actually for us. They're for our good. They point back to God, absolutely. But they build up the church. They invigorate us. They excite us. Man, there is nothing more exciting than me seeing God work in someone else. It's exciting to see God work in my own life. Way more exciting to see God clearly at work in someone else. It is beautiful and encouraging. And so when he comes to the purpose statement in verse 7, he makes this so clear. To each is given, yes, every single one, the manifestation of the Spirit. And when he says the manifestation, that's not supposed to be a hidden thing. It's something being revealed, something on open display. The only other time that word is used in Scripture is in 2 Corinthians 4:2, when he says, we didn't act deceitfully or distort or manipulate the word of God, but commending ourselves before God to everyone's conscience, we made an open display of the truth. And so when we see the manifestation of the Spirit, it's supposed to be an open and clear thing, not just a hidden, mysterious matter. To each is given the manifestation, sort of a clear rendering of the Holy Spirit, for the common good. So what are gifts good for? They are good for you. They do build you up. But they're primarily for the common good. They're for the whole. When Paul returns to the idea of benefit and building up in chapter 14, his main crux, and we, I'm not going to go there. His main crux of comparing prophecy with tongues, his main issue there is what has the most benefit for the whole church? If you speak in tongues, that's wonderful. But it just has a benefit for you unless someone interprets. And so while there is individual benefit to us having spiritual gifts, they are for our personal good. Our giftings are really for all of our good. My preaching would do no good to myself if I had no one here. That would just do no good. It wouldn't build me up. I'm the last person I want to hear. And your spiritual gifts are not tricks or superpowers that make you firstly confident that you're in a right relationship with God. They are blessings for the whole church. And so I would encourage you to seek them out, to discern. If you have never prayed the prayer, God, would you show me what you've gifted me to do? And I'll tell you, it might not show up in a gift list, and it might be something you're already doing. God, would you show me how I can play a part? I want to help the church. I want to build up the church. The common good. All for one and one for all. I actually want that. Lord, would you show me how you've gifted me? He has gifted his whole church. Let me just encourage you. He has gifted his entire church. And verse 4 and 5 make it clear that it's about more than just the special gifts. There's a variety. Variety of working, variety of service. And sometimes it might not seem that spiritual. But if your work is pointing people to God or allowing someone else to point to God, the people who set up the chairs last night, you better prepared me to point people towards Jesus Christ. You might not have felt that that was spiritual. There are a variety of spiritual activities going on in a church, many of them quite mundane. But inasmuch as they are pointed for the purposes and the glory of God, for the common building up of the church, they are blessed and wonderful gifts and not to be disdained. So thank you. Like I thanked Vicky for her work and using her giftings, thank each of you who are employing your gifts. And if you're not, you sense that the Spirit is telling you you are restraining or holding back, or you're not all that interested in who's sitting down the row from you, pray for God to move in your heart, that you would care about the common good. That's what these gifts are for. Whose kid is that? This word for that we see here generally as common good, it kind of just means benefit, profit, advantage. And when Jesus was telling his disciples that he was going to leave, this is the word that he used when he talked about his leaving. Nevertheless, I tell you, it is to your advantage that I go away. It's for everyone's good. For if I do not go away, the Helper, that is the Holy Spirit, will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you. And he has. God has sent his Holy Spirit, and he has given us gifts. And it is a blessing and a joy when we use them and bless each other with them. Lastly, this is a bit of a return to what Joe had talked about last week. This whole section wraps up by saying all of these different things that are so vital to the church, they are empowered by one and the same Spirit, who apportions to each one individually as he wills. It's not for us to question why God has made some preachers, some administrators, some helpers, and myriads of other things. It's to use that gift gratefully, to use it well, to serve the Lord as much as we are able. If I could have picked a gift and none of us get to, because it's clear here that the Holy Spirit, that God apportions to each one as he wishes. So while I might not have picked preaching, I'm going to use that gift as long as I have breath. And because I couldn't use it as well at Fidelity, God had to send me out. But he likely is using your gifts or wants to use your gifts exactly where you are, because not every one of us has to leave our jobs or our homes. Some of us will, and this church is an apt example of it, because people have been called out of this place over and over and over again. But it is God who distributes the gifts and does so according to his purposes. And I just encourage you, his purposes are good. He's got good intentions. I think we come to the topic of gifts with mixed motivations, some baggage. Like I said before, it can be a very divisive issue. But God comes to this topic very clear-minded. He wishes to bless his church. And we are blessed as we gratefully pursue, seek out, employ, and affirm in others their gifts. Let me give you two. I don't think I need to burden this anymore. Let me give you two kind of take-homes. If you're sitting there going, I've been a Christian for a long time, but I'm not sure what my giftings are, I don't want that. I would hate for that to continue. But I'd also hate for that to distract you from the primary reality and the primary gift, that is your faith in Jesus Christ. If you have expressed a real, you're trusting on it, leaning on it, faith in Jesus Christ, even though you're not quite sure how God's gifted you, how God's directed you, you're not sure if you're in the right vein, I would just encourage you to first rest in the fact that Jesus Christ has called you and that you have a faith in him, because that was the first gift. Praise God. You are his. So whether or not you're a little confused, and I've been for most of my life, especially about spiritual gifts, just want to affirm you, this table we're going to celebrate today, it's nothing other than celebrating the one gift that we all share, the gift of Jesus Christ, who lived a perfect life, used his giftings, gave his life, died for us, he rose again. That is the first gift we celebrate. But don't let the fact that we celebrate that gift and we keep that utmost, don't let that stop you from knocking on the door, from getting on your knees and praying to God, Lord, I really would like to have greater clarity. Am I doing the type of activity that you would have me do? Is what I'm doing blessing you and building up the church? And if not, help me. Help me know. I want to be a part of the kingdom that's being built. I don't want to be a reserve. I want to play. That's a good desire. That's a good prayer. My other takeaway would be this. Many churches are deficient in their affirming of giftings from the pulpit and from the pew. When I told people that I thought, and I was very fuzzy and blurry on it, that I thought God might have been calling me out of fidelity to go to seminary to become a minister, I was much blurrier and fuzzier on it than the people I told. They responded relatively quickly. Oh, we always knew. We were just waiting for the day. Oh, praise be to God. We were wondering why it took so long. And I was thinking, why didn't you tell me anything? I've been in the church for 18 years. You couldn't have given me little nudges of encouragement? Little things to chew on? To think about? Hey, have you ever thought about... Someone didn't say, have you ever thought about seminary until maybe the year before I went? Now, we can't see everything in God's purview, but their reaction demonstrated that people were aware of an equipping and a gifting, but they weren't affirming it. They weren't sharing it. They weren't encouraging it. And by the way, I wasn't doing that for many or any other people either. I was concerned about my spirituality, my relationship with God. Let me figure out my gifts. I spent very little time thinking about how can I build up someone else by affirming them, by encouraging them, by saying, thank you for playing that song. Thank you for saying those words. I know you get nervous giving testimony. Thank you for doing that. Thank you for sharing. Thank you for serving. Thank you for helping. We have a lot of people in this church who do a lot. And it's not enough if I affirm you broadly every once in a while. We've got to be encouraging one another. So, as a take-home assignment, let it be on your heart to be an encourager as someone who affirms gifts. And if you feel like you're doing something stretchy, you're telling someone they have a healing gift, and you're not 100% confident about that, I think it's good to restrain. But there are plenty of things that we can easily affirm that we just don't. And I would encourage you, affirm one another. This is a good church. This is a beautiful church that is rooted and connected to the Word of God with people who are using their giftings. And I would just encourage you to encourage one another. I get enough feedback in every direction. And that's just the nature of the job. But some of you, like me when this wasn't my job, you didn't hear much. It was kind of silent. And that can cause you to wonder, am I doing the right things? So let us be people who encourage one another in their giftings. God has given them to each for the common good.